This interview was recorded for the International Bomber Command Centre Digital Archive, which owns the copyright for this performance.
I'm John Fisher, and I'm with Robert, known as Taffy Lewis, and we're at his home in Burton-on-Trent near Derby. Bob was a wireless operator on Halifaxes and Lancasters and served in 78 Squadron. He was born in April 1920. Bob, you were sort of 21 or 22 when you joined, so what were you doing up to that point before you joined the RAF?
I was waiting for teacher training college, but I took a little job in an office, you know, and plodded along until I got called up.
Yeah, and when you were called up, was obviously to the RAF.
Yes.
And what were you thinking then when that happened?
Oh, I was frightened. I went to Padgate. That was the recruiting centre. I was really frightened there. I was out of my depth, you know. I soon found some friends and we started training. And
yeah. And as that training got underway, did you start to get more optimistic?
Yes, yes. Yes. And then there was a long waiting period before you got to the wireless school. But when I got to the Yatesbury in Wiltshire, to the wireless school, I started proper training, you know. But before that, I had a few weeks doing Morse code at Blackpool. I'd come from a little village in Wales. I thought it was heaven. There was Reginald Dixon at the Tower Ballroom, dancing and everything. But 8 weeks we were there, but you had to get up to 21 words a minute, Morse code, I think. And a lot failed that, so they reduced it later on. But when you completed the it's Morse they wanted, a little technical, but mostly Morse, and you posted to Yatesbury in Wiltshire, which was the aircrew training for wireless operators.
So you passed all that okay?
Well, I meddled through it.
You made a damn good go at it.
Yes, yes.
What planes were you on to start with?
Then?
What planes were you in to start with?
Oh.
The Halifax?
I did an air gunnery course in between. And we flew in those, I think, things like Blackburn Bother. Oh, God, it was awful. And you flew in the Blackburn Bother over in Scotland, over the Firth of Forth, and you waited till the target tower came. Well, the aircraft towing the target was a Lysander. See? And you let it go past, and then you were taught about the angle of incidence and the angle of reflection. You forgot all that. If you saw the target, you shot at it, you know. They couldn't check on you, really, I don't think. But you just shot at the target.
Were you any good?
I don't know. Well, they couldn't check you, really. But if you fired first, you had yellow cap bullets. The next had green, perhaps. And then when they dropped the target, they'd count the number of marks. But it was very haphazard, you know. Very haphazard.
So, after that,
we went to an operational training unit down here at near Banbury. And then that's when I met my crew, you know.
Do you remember their names?
Yes. Did you want to know them all?
No, we'll get those later, if we may. We're just restarting again, and I'm with Bob in brackets Taffy Lewis. Bob, when you eventually went on your first stop, what were your feelings before that, and when did you know where you were going?
I don't know. I think it was very foolish, but I had great faith in this bloke. I thought, he's my pilot, he's going to get us through. Although the chances of getting through were pretty remote, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But I never really frightened. apprehensive but not frightened, you know.
And when you got to the target area,
yes,
what were your feelings then? What were you thinking about?
I used to come onto the flight deck and watch it all. I wasn't really frightened because I thought, well, he's going to get us through.
So it was that because perhaps it was all remote from you?
Yes.
Mm. And when you got back off your first stop?
Relief,
Did you all celebrate?
Yes.
What would you do between ops? What sort of things did you get up to?
What would you do?
Did you go to the pubs or?
Yeah, we enjoyed ourselves, you know, sometimes. But I was never a great drinker.
Yeah.
So when they went out to a famous place in York, Betty's Bar, there's a basement there during the war, it was full of air force. But I'd go and have half a pint, and I'd go to pictures or something, clear off, you know. I was never a great drinker, no.
Had you by then a girlfriend?
No, not regular, no, not a regular girlfriend. Used to go dancing a lot, aye.
And where was that?
That dancing. At the Grey Rooms, I think they were called in York. It was a big manor house, and they'd take it over to dance halls. Some man, a well-known local businessman, but they wouldn't let anyone in after 9 o'clock. They kept the rabble out. It was a bit of an upmarket. The Grey Rooms in New York.
Now, how many ops did you eventually do?
37, I think, altogether, with the Canadian squadron as well.
What were they like?
I didn't enjoy not being with the skipper and the rest of the crew. Because I was the signals leader there. I had to fly with anybody if they needed you. I could fly when I wanted to, if it was short, you know. So if you look at the logbook, you'll find I flew with a variety of pilots. Oh, they were all right. They got on all right with them, yeah.
Because you couldn't actually give any signalling for a lot of the time during the flight, were you? You had to be silent, didn't you?
Yes.
So what did you do?
Yes.
How did you pass the time?
Well, in the air, you mean? Oh, I used to go and stand up on the flight deck.
Yeah.
When we were out of range. But once I sent out an SOS, we were in real trouble. Sent it an SOS and got a quick reply too. I don't know if it's mentioned in there.
Did your plane ever get hit or anything? Or?
Yeah, we got the exchange fire with a Ju-88 and that, the two gunner, but we never got seriously hurt. We were very, very lucky. More than lucky, weren't we?
Halfway through your period there, did you go on to do anything else, or you converted onto Lancasters, didn't you?
No, it was the Canadian squadron on our Lancs. We finished on Halifax there.
Yes, because they fitted them all.
They used to get annoyed, you see. The BBC News would say, operations on Mannheim last night, 98 aircraft were employed, many of them Lancasters, and the poor old Halifaxes were doing the same job, but they got, so they used to call it the bloody Daily Mirror bomber, but it was a beautiful aircraft in the Lanc,
Because the Halifaxes, they actually fitted them with different engines after a while, didn't they?
Well, they went on to Transport Command,
So, as the war was coming into an end, were your operations intensified, or what was happening then?
When the war ended, I was with a Canadian squadron. No, it didn't intensify, no.
So what? What
in fact, I was grounded when the war finished. The Canadian squadron were gradually sent home. They whittled down, and I was left more or less on the station on my own one time.
What did you do?
And then I got my big discharge.
And
when they came out to post it, they said, "You were a potential teacher, weren't you?" Well, I hadn't finished training or anything. Well, never mind that. I'll get that. Into the classroom.
and where was that?
In with Marines.
And now eventually you moved
St Andrew's School, with Marines.
And you moved to Wolverhampton eventually,
didn't you? And then my wife lived at Stoke-on-Trent. Well, she came out of the staff and we ran in, you see.
And what was your wife's name?
Mary.
And where did you meet?
At the school, she came out of the staff, yeah.
What did she do?
When was that, John? When were you born?
53, so you'd have met in
51, I think, something like that.
I have with me Bob's son, John, who's listening into this and learning some stuff as well, yeah. I think. Now, did you stay in teaching?
Yes, I'll retire. How old is Paul, John?
He's 31 now.
So 31? Well, I retired 30 years ago then. I retired when...
So, where was most of your teaching at, Bob?
Wolverhampton.
And what schools were you at?
St Andrews. And where did I go from there?
Christchurch.
Then back to St Andrews. And then I was deputy headmaster at Brickhill Street. Do you know Brickhill Street? That old school there.
And you were a football fan, I think.
Ben?
You were a football fan, weren't you?
Yes. A football fan. Mm. Oh, yeah, with the Wolves supporter.
Were those in the days when...
I always took the school football team.
Were they any good?
Yes. A smaller school, we never did very, very well, you know. But one year I had 11 boys, and I had one boy who could have become a professional footballer. He was great, and the rest of them were good. We won the cup, the Cork Cup it was called, for junior schools. God. Remember, John?
Because Wolves were doing well, though, I suppose, when you were supporting.
Oh, they were top of the league, top of the world, weren't we, John? Bert Williams and, you know, and Billy Wright, Hancock's and Mullin.
And of course, it was tradition then, wasn't it?
Did you go to school in Wolverhampton? Where was school you at?
Oh, sorry, no.
Pardon?
Whoops. I'm still talking with Bob Lewis. We had to digress a little while because we were talking about my school days, which you won't want to hear. So I'm John Fisher talking to Bob Lewis, and we're in Barton under Needwood, which is near Burton-on-Trent. Bob, overall, what do you think of your days in the RAF? What would you describe it as?
Oh, I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, I've been on operations. Now that it is all over, I look on it with pleasure, you know. And with this chap as the pilot, I thought we did a good job, yeah.
You've got a lovely shiny medal there, haven't you? What's that for?
Pardon? DFM. Mm.
Yeah. And how did you get that?
Well, for on completion of a tour of operations.
That was quite a lot of operations, wasn't it?
Pardon?
That was quite a lot of your operations.
Yes. So you had to do 30, of course. And then you were what they call screened. You were sent as an instructor somewhere.
So you did more than most. You did more than you had to.
The top cliff in Yorkshire. And then I went back on the Canadian squadron. As a flight lieutenant then.
What was your favourite plane?
all the Halifax. Yeah. I like the old outlets right up there, looks it. The chap upstairs made that for me.
Uh-huh. And what was good about the Halifax?
Familiarity, that's all. The Lancaster was a better aircraft, I must admit. But I felt happier in that thing, you know.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Bob. Thank you.
Is that enough?
Bob, I need to talk to you about any sort of near scrapes you had in the war.
Yes. The pilot got us back into... But one night, he was entirely lost. Unfortunately, the navigator lost his nerve and couldn't work the G-box or anything. So, skipper said to me, for God's sake, Tom, get an SOS. And I sent it out on the right frequency. And by a miracle, I got a reply straight away. And that he knew where we were exactly then, but we were way off course. We wouldn't have made it, you know, without the SOS.
And where were you then? Did you know? Do you know?
I didn't know exactly. It's in my logbook somewhere.
Ah, okay.
So I think we were returning from Stuttgart or somewhere. Only the pilot, he knew his way about Germany at night pretty well, but he was going around in circles, you know. And the navigator lost his nerve. Yet.
Did you ever encounter any night fighters?
Yes. Plenty of night fighters about.
And did your plane, your gunner, down any of them?
They fire with him, but they cleared off. And we had that way, they veered that way. I had two good gunners. And if you turn that off, I'll tell you something.
Plane back okay.